ladies, and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago with a live studio audience. It gets better each week, folks. It is great. We have actually an incredible podcast to share with you. We are approaching Pesach as I look over from our recording studio into my kitchen. Boy, oh boy, I see tape. I see lots of rolls of stuff lining the shelves. What lines the shelf? What do we line the shelves with? Things? Shelf liner? Okay, from the live studio audience. Okay, and lots of vacuums. The ladies in the house are absolutely next level in terms of the cleaning. And this is happening all over. Boys and girls, men and women of all ages, all over the Jewish world, all over the world and the Jewish world, are cleaning their houses for Pesach. So it's getting ready. So in the midst of all this, we have international, intercontinental warfare. Of what is going on. Now, unless you have been hiding out somewhere on vacation with your phone on airplane mode and no Wi-Fi, you probably most likely heard that Iran, the place where they have kebab and gonde, did I do that right, people? I have some Persians who listen. Do you like? Was that good? Okay, I hope that was good. And they launched about 500 killer drones, not just drones that like take little cute little pictures, killer drones. That sounds pretty intense. And missiles. Now, if you'd like to see what the missiles look like, take a look at the front cover of our podcast image, done so beautifully each week by Kiria Pfeffer, our program coordinator. And these missiles are huge. It's like bigger than a school bus. Enormous. Ginormous. Huge. And hundreds of them launched from Iranian soil to Israel. Now, I don't know about you, but this is certainly unprecedented that we have had such an attack on direct, not Iran's proxies, but from Iran itself. And Israel and its allies, America, even Jordan helped out. I heard even Saudi Arabia maybe helped out. They basically used Israeli technology to wipe out, shoot down all of these missiles, in addition to the F-15s, F-35s, and all the beautiful Israeli aircraft that just shot all these things down. To the point where they shot down 99% of all of them. And there was one Bedouin girl who was severely injured. And there was one army base in the south of Israel that was partially damaged, although Israel Air Force made sure to show many, many landings, videos of landings of their jets to show everyone that did not even affect their operations. So there's a lot of things that we need to talk about over here, and obviously we're going to connect them to Passover. But one of them is, hello, look at the constant miracles that are going on here. I know there are Israeli generals who say, I want to thank the strength of the Iron Dome and all of the military technology to show Israeli strength. And yes, Baruch Hashem, we have wonderful technology, and we have wonderful soldiers, and we have wonderful research people, and we have brilliant statisticians and technicians and all sorts of amazing people who are defending Israel, and may God bless them and keep them. But if that is the only lesson that we learn from all the missiles being shot down, you're missing a miracle. You're literally, we would be missing a miracle. Miracles. Miracles. I just watched with my family a video from Katsrin, which is the capital of the Golan. They actually, if you ever visit Katsrin, they have an amazing Talmudic village. They remade a village of what it looked like back there in Talmudic times. Unbelievable. Mishnaic times, excuse me. Unbelievable. Anyway, they showed this huge crater in a residential area. It blew away a fence, and that fence damaged a local roof right in the middle of a totally residential area. It's absolutely miraculous, unbelievable. And the fact that we kind of think that 500 killer drones and missiles being shot down 99% is normal is like a miracle happening in front of us that we may miss. So I just want to point out that we should not miss it because it is absolutely unbelievable and brings us to one of the points that we wanted to talk about in the podcast is one of gratitude. One of gratitude. What is the night of Pesach all about? It's all about gratitude and expressing that gratitude to the Almighty who took us out of Egypt 3,336 years ago. Very, very, very important that we know that term, that number, 3,336. It was 1312 BCE. Do the math, 3,336 years ago. You can get birthday balloons. You can sing happy birthday at the beginning of the Seder because this is the birthday of the Jewish people. And the gratitude that we have that Hashem not only took us out of Egypt, but he put us in Egypt because there was something so fundamentally important that we were going to be forged as a people, the fiery furnace. And it was not easy. It was not something pleasant, but we became strong enough in Egypt that we would survive 500 killer drones and missiles and all sorts of other things that unfortunately throughout our history did get through. And so therefore, Pesach night and the Seder is a night of gratitude. And this, if you're leading a Seder or if you're at a Seder and can have a voice, it's not just, oh, this is not just a simple Thanksgiving. Oh, what are you grateful for? What are you deeply grateful for to be part of this Jewish people, to be part of the greatest nation ever to live, to be truly grateful? The odds of any one of us being here and Jewish is statistically zero. Zero. From back then to now, statistically, it is zero that there should be any Jew alive on planet Earth. And that is due only to the Hashkacha, what we call the divine providence, God's overlooking, watching over the Jewish people and individual Jews throughout history. Okay, so that is a permanent, fundamental plank and fundamental component of the Passover Seder. And that's something that we need to get across to our children, to our peers, to parents, to children, etc. at the Passover Seder. So thank you, Hashem, for everything that you have done to save the Jewish people until now. And now I want to share with you an absolutely unbelievable facet of the Jewish people. Okay? So I spoke with my married daughter, Racheli, and her husband, Shua, and I spoke with Adina, other daughter, a single daughter who is in Israel. And I don't know about you, but just imagine, not even the day after. So these missiles were shot Saturday night, okay? So after Shabbos, Saturday night, early Sunday morning, okay? Now, The Israelis were notified because it takes about a 7-hour journey for these missiles to actually reach Israel. So as one family put it, it's like, well, these missiles come already. I have a lot to do. I have a lot to get on with my life. Let's just, you know, get this missile attack over. I thought that's pretty funny. Anyway, so I don't know about you, but the next that very morning, I'll tell you what I would do. I would sleep in. I would pull the covers very tightly over my head. Maybe sometime mid-morning, I would peek out under the covers, maybe open up the window a little bit, see if there's any life outside with life continuing. But it would definitely, definitely a stay-home day. and my daughters and son-in-law reported to me that Jerusalem on Sunday, April 14th, mere hours after the attack, was bustling and moving and shaking and people getting ready for Pesach. They were going in and out of stores and shopping like nothing had happened. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine this great resilient people? The Jewish people who at least give a day, at least have a day where things, okay, so schools were canceled, fine. But like everyone was out shopping. Jerusalem was humming with activity. Can you imagine this? Not even a day after 500 missiles come, directed your way from your arch enemy who seeks openly to destroy every last one of you. That is resilience. That is the greatness of the Jewish people. And that is what comes out of the Passover Seder. That no matter what the non-Jewish nations of the world are going to do to us throughout history, you're not taking anything away from us. You're not going to take our Judaism away from us. You are not going to take the crown, the distinguished feature of us being royalty, of being princes and princesses, royalty of Hashem, of God, the King of the universe. When we say Melech Olam, King of the universe, who are the princes and princesses? That's us. And the non-Jewish nations for millennium have been maligning us verbally, spiritually, emotionally, and of course physically to take our crown away. And we won't let them. And Hashem won't let them. I have an absolutely fascinating story about this resilience. This resilience of the Jewish people. And I was looking for, there are actually many, many stories of Jews who were defied the Nazis at all times of the year, but in particular at Pesach. There's stories of seders happening under the noses of the Nazis. And I want to share with you an absolutely incredible story. Now, I saw this story online, and it was in the Jewish Action magazine. It doesn't say the date here, but I want to share the story with you. Written by Aviva Woznicka, Pesach and Auschwitz, A Father's Story. So it goes like this. So she recalls her how amazingly important and special the Seders were at her parents' house and how special they were. The just beautiful tables and everything. They went all out. And it was an incredible stark contrast to what her parents had gone through. Okay, so basically everyone knew that you got to Auschwitz if you even survived. And we're not sent straight to the death camps of Birkenau, that you weren't going to eat that much. And that was one of the tortures of the Nazis was starvation. And so to have the job of working in the kitchen was a golden ticket. It was a golden ticket because basically it meant that you were going to be able to survive. And people, Jews, got together, the rabbis of Auschwitz, before the Pesach of 1943. They had kept a crude calendar on the walls of the barracks, and they realized that Pesach was coming. And they knew that it already reached the month of Nisan, the month that we're in right now. And they had a couple weeks in order until the Passover holiday. So what happened? They made a plan that what they were going to do is basically deploy and activate different Jews in different parts of the camp to be able to make this happen. And the people who were most active in this were the people in the kitchen. So what happened was that they would, when they were cleaning up from the day, a little bit of flour was brushed away each day after baking the bread, Okay, so from a distance, it didn't seem like anything was happening. It's like a routine cleanup at the end of the day. But those, that little bit of flour was then saved. And they made sure that no water got near it, because then it would become hummus, it would become leavened. And so pretty soon, they had enough flour for the baking of 5 matzahs. Now, here's the other real challenge is, how do you bake the matzahs that they're actually going to be kosher? Because the bread, the oven that is normally used, was full of chametz. And so one of the workers in the kitchen at the end of the day, before they were going to bake the matzahs, it scrubbed and cleaned and then made a special fire in the oven to be able to kosher the oven, to make the oven of Auschwitz kosher for Pesach. Just unbelievable. And they were able to bake 5 matzahs. But that was not enough, says Aviva. She described that 5 matzahs was obviously not a lot to feed a lot of people, but they made an offer, a deal. Anyone who was going to be kosher for Pesach the entire holiday would get 1/2 a matzah. And their goal was to get 10 people, 10 men, to be able to keep kosher for Passover, and they would represent the rest of the Jews in Auschwitz. And Aviva's father, Pesach Hochmitz, and his first name was Pesach. That is a common Jewish name for Jewish baby boys who were born on Pesach, on Passover. Their name is Pesach. And he stood up and he said that because my name is Pesach and this holiday is always close to my heart, he said he would step up and not eat any chametz, basically starvation rations, because they basically had a bread and a little bit of soup an entire day. So if you're giving up your bread ration, that basically means you're on starvation rations. And he did it. And 10 men did it. Now, some people ate it towards the beginning. Some people spread it out a little bit. He waited until later on in Pesach, which basically means that he was fasting with the tortures of Auschwitz for many, many days. And he chewed when he ate that matzah. When he ate that matzah, it was something so absolutely special to him. And it connected him to the everything that was great about the Jewish people, that we really are connected to the Almighty, that nothing anyone can do to us will deter us from serving the Almighty. And they made it. And they lifted not only their spirits, but the spirits of every Jew in the camp. Now, I don't even know what to say or how to process this story. But what did he say? He said, but a whole Pesach had passed before they knew it. I didn't care what they would do to me. It was worth it. This is what Pesach said afterwards. To have matzah on Pesach, in spite of them, it was all worth it. Remembering with satisfaction, a broad grin stretching across his face. If that is not resilience, I don't know what is. People, we are resilient. There are a lot of people who are very nervous and very scared about what is happening in the Jewish world. We are resilient. Whatever they bring at us, we can handle when we are connected to the Almighty. That is the story of Pesach for 3,336 years and counting. And God willing, all of us will take the inspiration of this Pesach, of this Mr. Pesach, and of this Pesach coming up to become even more resilient to serving the Almighty, to be proud and knowledgeable Jews that no one will take our crown. God bless. Look forward to seeing you. Next exciting edition. I don't know if it'll be next week on Pesach. I hope so. Let's see. Stay tuned for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Love me so well, I